the setting for today's message. You can see on the screen up there, we're going to talk about David and Goliath. And so I have to answer this question first. Why David and Goliath? And there's two reasons. First reason is I just taught this to the 2s and 3-year-olds. And so sermon prep was already done. And I did think about one of the activities that we did was there's a little paper Goliath. And you get a paper ball and you get to knock them down. And I'll tell you what, there are some arms down with the 2s and 3-year-olds. And I thought, well, maybe that would be a good activity for you guys today to be able to try that out. But in all seriousness, as I was actually preparing for that lesson that we do down with the 2s and 3s, it got me thinking. This is a very familiar story for us, and one that there's a tendency to gloss over. There's a tendency to think that this is just a kid's story and not for us. Even think about, when was the last time you actually heard this story preached on a Sunday morning? Might have been a long time. Maybe you've never heard the story of David and Goliath preached. Second reason for using this today is in the teen takeover, one of the things that I want for our congregation is to be challenged by these teens. And I'm challenged by them on a regular basis. I'm challenged by their genuineness and their faith. I'm challenged by their scripture reading and study, verse memorization, the way that they serve. I'm challenged by these guys, and I want that for you guys. It's not easy being up here, right? Some of them were pretty nervous about being up here. It's not easy to give of your time to serve. It's not easy to be a follower of Christ. We heard that in some of the testimony videos for baptism. It's not easy, and we can relate to them in that capacity. David and Goliath, David was a teen at the time. Probably a young teen. All the experts will say probably within 13 to 19, so, you know, solid teen years. Probably a little bit on the younger end of that. So what I want to do is I want to read further in the passage. It's a long passage. You know, we always hear the kids' version of it. It's actually a very long passage, so you should still be there in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm just going to pick up in verse 26. I'm going to read here for a while just to, again, refresh us with this. Be thinking about this. Chances are there'll be something in here that you're like, oh, I forgot about that part of the story. Or, you know, I never actually knew that in part of the story here. So, verse 26, and David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done to the man who killed the Philistines and takes away the reproach from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in the same way, so shall it be to the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why have you come down, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the presumption and the evil in your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not but a word? And he turned away from him toward another. And he spoke the same way, and the people answered him as before. Verse 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for them. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them into his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand as he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When the Philistine arose and came to draw near to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistine saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Okay. It was a long passage, but I think it's appropriate for us to look at that in detail. And sometimes when Pastor Dave speaks and preaches, he'll tell us to put ourselves into the story. And the purpose of that is to put ourselves into a character within the story. And to ask ourselves the question of who we would be in this story. And I don't think it wouldn't take us long to probably figure out that we'd be just like the Israelites. We'd be just like Saul. Because that's our tendency. Our tendency is when we're faced with an impossibility, a difficult situation, we fear, we doubt, and then we put limits on God. So you can see some of how the Israelites and how King Saul reacted to this situation. This had been going on for 40 days prior. Verse 11, we saw that they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 24, they fled from him and were much afraid. Very fearful. Verse 33 tells us about Saul. Saul sees his answer right before him, right? No, he doesn't. He sees a boy. He says, but you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. He doubts. You know, Israel was God's chosen people, God's chosen nation. He had all of these, they had all these examples of God's faithfulness. Saul should have known. Saul should have been leading the charge as their king, but he doubted. And reluctantly, he agrees, right? He's got no option. He's not going to go fight Goliath. He's got nobody in his army that's willing to do that. He's tried to incentivize them. Earlier in the passage, it talked about what the person would get, including Saul's daughter in marriage. So he puts a limit on God. He says, okay, well, if we're going to do this, I'm at least going to try to give him a chance. I'm going to give him my armor and try to make sure that maybe he can survive a blow. Maybe he'll get lucky. It's kind of like his Hail Mary here. And I think if we take a minute, we think about some of the difficult situations that we've been in, maybe even recently. Maybe it's a health scare or a difficult diagnosis or a difficult situation at work or a strain in a relationship, or maybe it's a financial issue. What's our default? You're probably just like me. Maybe you start with fear. Maybe you start with doubt. Maybe you think this is impossible and you put limits on God. So we have fear to the point of anxiety, or we have doubt to the point of disbelief, or we put God in such a small box that he isn't even God anymore. So we're just like the Israelites. We're just like King Saul in this story. So what do we do with that? How do we overcome doubt? Start with Scripture. And I'm going to do, you see a bunch of Scripture here. Justin last week, he did a rapid fire of Scripture, and I like that. So I'm going to go through, I'm going to read these for you. You don't have to turn to them, just listen in. I'm going to read these passages. And you'll see, this is just a small piece of the encouragement we have in Scripture on this topic. Mark 11, 23, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, and it'll be done for him. Isaiah 41, 10, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me, and you will seek me with all of your heart. John 14, 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Joshua 1, 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything be by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Matthew 21, 22, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Genesis 18, 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. So you've got numerous examples in Scripture, like this example here of, of Sarah giving birth in her old age that defy logic. You've got so many great scriptural examples. We could go on and on. But verses like these, we need to commit these to memory. We need to be quick to go to these things when we're plagued by doubt. I also think there's some practical things that we can do, take from some biblical wisdom that just want to take a minute to talk about how we can practically overcome our lack of faith. So a few practical questions for us. The first one is, why do we doubt? It's a simple question, but one that we don't ask sometimes. Why? Why are we doubting? Ask why five times. You keep on asking and you get to this root cause. And oftentimes it's disbelief. We're like Thomas as he doubts the resurrected Christ. John 20:27, Jesus tells him very straightforwardly, do not disbelieve, but believe. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're told to walk in faith. Question two, where in your past have you seen God's faithfulness in your life? So this reflection can be a great reminder for us. We probably all have stories of God's faithfulness, things that we can cling to in our doubt. One of the things that I think about from Scripture is the Ebenezer stone. If you remember the story there, just a little bit prior in 1 Samuel chapter 7, and ironically, it was a defeat of the Philistines that Samuel puts this stone of remembrance up. So a few decades had passed. I'm sure David had heard the story, but they had forgotten. They had forgotten God's faithfulness over that battle. But David didn't forget about God's faithfulness, right? He thought of the bear and the lion and God's faithfulness in what his brother was making fun of him, his care over a few sheep. The next question, what other believer or believers can help you in your doubt? We miss this too. We keep all of our doubt inside. We've got this great benefit of the body of Christ, speaking the word or word-like words. Sometimes it's scripture, sometimes it's just words that are biblically based. It's all through the New Testament, right? Colossians, Ephesians, Hebrews, Thessalonians, you can think of all these verses that are instructing us or giving us examples of doing this within the body of Christ. The last question, but certainly not the least here, have you taken your doubt to God in prayer? It's where we need to start in a lot of cases. Remember the verses we just read in Philippians 4, chapter 6, but everything in prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. Or in Matthew 21:22, instructing us to go to God in prayer. So we also have an example in this passage of an appropriate posture. We've got David's actions. He modeled trust in God. He modeled humility. We saw just his anger towards the Philistines because, as he said in 26 and 36, they were defying the armies of the living God. We already talked about in verse 37 where he had already experienced God's deliverance from the paw of the bear and the lion. And it would happen for him again with Goliath. And then, of course, probably one of the most familiar verses in the passage, in verse 47, he says, "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." That confidence, that trust in God, you saw that all throughout his interactions. He wasn't going there to fight Goliath. He was going to check on the army, to go bring them some supplies, to report back to his dad. But he trusted God. Go ahead and turn to Psalm 34. David's not writing here specifically about this interaction, but in Psalm 34, starting in verse 4, you see the same thing. You see the same approach. He says, "I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." Again, in Psalm 23, we see the same thing. What is the result here for David? God is faithful. Join me in prayer. God, we do thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that we can overcome anything that is placed in our path because we know that you're in control. We know that you care for us, you love us, you've saved us because you sent Jesus Christ. God, we struggle with doubt. We struggle to put you in a proper place as the God of the universe and the God of our lives. Pray, Lord, that today's whole service would help point us to you, would help us in that next small step of our faith. God, I do pray, Lord, that if there's any here that don't have a relationship with you, they haven't placed their faith in you, they don't have assurance of their salvation, that today would be the day that they could stand up here just like we had teens stand up here today and say that they are followers of Jesus Christ. Again, Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for David and his faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, his descendant, who is the perfect king. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.